to welcome everyone tonight to our Sunday night service right here at Calvary Baptist Church in Powder Springs. And so good to see everybody. And tonight is a special night. And we want to have Brother Kevin Brooke bringing the word here in just a little bit, whatever is on his heart. I told him this morning, I said, if you want to testify, you know, give your story or preach, I said, it's all up to you. And we're so very thankful and for Kevin and what the Lord has done for him and his life. And so we just want to use him tonight. And again, just want to remind everyone of the reception to follow and in our fellowship hall. And all food will be provided. And this will be a great time this evening. So you glad you're here tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So good to be here tonight. Good to have Brother Snyder with us tonight. Good to have Brent with us as well. And so familiar grounds over here. Not much has changed. But anyway, I'm going to ask Brother Snyder if he would stand. Feel free to come around. Just bring us to the Lord in a word of prayer tonight. And I tell you what, why don't you come on around to the pulpit? Yeah, get on Facebook Live and everything, you know. Just after that, the ladies are going to sing a song for us.
Let's bow together, please. Father, on every occasion, we're thankful that we can remember where and who has been so kind to us, yes, to give us the opportunities, not only the opportunity, but the calling and then the desire to follow that calling. I thank you for that. Thank you that you've looked into this church and you have raised many that have worked at the children's home, that have called, been obedient to the call of the mission field, to the ministry as deacons. I thank you for a church of service. I pray now, as we move through this service tonight, that the beauty of holiness would surround and fill this place. I pray for Kevin. I pray you'd be with him. Help him to speak out of a heart that is deeply, desperately, irretrievably in love with you. Yes. And I pray that he'll only speak that you give him, and I pray that we would hear not that it's a young boy that grew up in our church, but it's a man who seeks to follow you. I pray as you open the path to him, that he'll walk in obedience. Thank you for this church. Father, I thank you for the years that we've invested our lives here and they've invested in us. Thank you that it serves as a base for our children's home as we travel and have traveled and probably will travel when things change again, that to many churches that have been touched through this ministry, and yet this is always home. Amen. We can come home, and I thank you for that. Be with us tonight. Be with us in our singing and song service. Be pleased with what happens tonight. In the strong name of our Savior, we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
receive our Sunday night offering. And that was my fault. I meant to tell y'all in just a moment. Give me a second to collect the tithes and offerings. And got two nice looking young ushers down here tonight. And so praise the Lord for that. Just a couple requests, a couple things to mention before we pray. Let's remember Miss Carrie Bennett. Actually, she had been in the hospital, I guess the greater part of last week. I believe Miss Claudia, if that's right. And is she home now? Yeah, she's home, but she's struggling with some breathing issues, maybe a heart situation. I think it, congestive heart failure. And so let's just remember her in our prayers when we pray. Also, again, Brother David is back with us. He was here this morning, and him and Miss Glenda, and again tonight. Just had hip replacement surgery last week. Nothing but a thing with the Lord. And but I remember Brother David this week because he has a few therapy appointments. I think they're going to have him out there trying to kick a field goal and everything else. So Miss Glenda says no, so I think she's going to try to kick that field goal for you. But anyway, and I just want to remind everyone that our services are back on track this Wednesday night, and so I encourage you to be with us in our midweek service, and that'll be a blessing. All right, well, let's pray, and we'll bless the offering, and then our young ladies have a couple to sing, and then Brother Kevin will come around and bring the word. Yeah, go ahead. Sure, we'll remember his request, brother.
Well, just if I may, maybe some that have been here for a while will remember. They haven't been in a while, but Katie and Wilma Black used to be here. Wilma passed away the other day, and our trouble as a result of COVID. All of them have COVID. Chris, the youngest son, his wife died on Christmas Eve.
Jeez. Absolutely. Let's remember this request tonight. Anybody else have a special request they want to make mention of? Any unspokens tonight, you can raise your hand. Something you just don't want to mention, but God knows about it. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Let's bless the offering and the remainder part of the service. Father, we love you tonight. We are thankful, grateful, and blessed. Lord, we do lift up these dire needs to you, Lord. You know who needs what, Lord. You know those who are sick in body, those who are struggling, even those, Lord, who mentally are struggling and, Lord, can't perform their regular duties in life because of some heavy burden, because of some bout of depression. Lord, we pray for the grace of God to be real in every person's life, every situation. Be merciful, Lord, is our prayer. And Lord, we pray tonight for this offering, that you bless it and use it here at Calvary. Lord, we're thankful that we're able to give a portion to missions. We pray for all of our missionaries, Don and Carl over in Peru, that you'd be with them. And Father, be with Brother Kevin tonight. Lord, help him, use him. What a blessing he is. What a blessing all the young people and children are to us. Lord, I just pray that you'd be with every young person in this building tonight. Lord, may you make their pathway straight. Lord, may you allow them to walk directly into your will each and every day. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Faithful promises. Time and time again, you have proven you'll do just what you said. Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I remain steadfast and let my heart learn when you speak a word, it will come to pass. Great your faithfulness to me. Great is your faithfulness to me. From the rising sun to the setting same, I will praise your name. Great is your faithfulness to me. Faithfulness to me. Great. is your faithfulness to me.
Without any further ado, Brother Kevin Brook on his way to Champion Christian College. You come on around, brother, and give us a word tonight.
I don't do this often, so it's get set up. Sorry. I just want to first say thank you to the girls for singing. And Pastor Justin said that I can either testify or preach, and I feel like the Lord's telling me to do a little bit of both. And I want to say that my story is, for God so loved a broken boy, that he gave his son for me. And if Jesus told me to go dig ditches, I would get 10 shovels and I would dig till they were all broken. Because he loved me when I was broken, and I would do everything to serve him. And if there's nothing I can testify, then that's it. That Jesus came for a broken boy like me. And I want to thank the church so much for giving me this opportunity to speak. And before I do speak, I want to say that this is my home, and that I am beyond thankful to be able to speak, and that it's a privilege of mine, and that I hope that I can give all the glory to the Lord Jesus, and that maybe I can touch at least one of you here. If you would like to, please turn to Psalm chapter number 73, and we'll start in verse number 12. I would like to pray before we start. Dear Father, Father God, I thank you so much for this opportunity. Father, I thank you for your kindness to me. Father God, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your mercy. Father God, I ask that you please strengthen me today. Father God, empty me out. Help me, Father God, to be a vessel used by you. Father God, take away everything that I am. May it be you and you alone. I thank you for your mercy. I ask for your strength. I pray all these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll be starting in Psalms chapter number 73 and in verse 12, and I'll be reading all the way to verse 28. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou casted them down into destruction. How were they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. So this morning, Pastor Justin spoke, and it was a psalm of David. This is a song of a man, and his name is Asaph. And Asaph was actually given his position by David to be what we would call a worship leader. And we see Asaph is going through some things. He says, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. So Asaph sees the people in the world who are wicked, but they're prospering. This makes Asaph question himself. He starts to question the reason why he's doing what he's doing. Asaph says, verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. Asaph is saying, if these people are prospering, why am I doing what I'm doing? It makes no sense. He's saying to the Lord, why am I doing this if they continue to prosper? But Asaph realized something. He said, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou casted them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. And then Asaph realizes something. He says, thus my heart was grieved and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Asaph saw a problem in the world around him. He said, the wicked people are prospering. And I have cleansed myself and I'm not prospering. But then he realizes that all the prosperity of those who are wicked it comes to complete end in a moment. Jesus said he will come in a twinkling of an eye. Asaph realizes something before Jesus even came, that in a twinkling of an eye, everything that the wicked have done will be completely taken away. The word that he uses is that they are brought into desolation. The word desolation means waste. Everything that they do has been wasted. Everything they spent their entire lives working on is purposeless. The wicked may prosper now, but the righteous may suffer now, but our future is not here. Our future is in Jesus Christ. So Asaph is starting to realize some things. And when I was reading this, I was kind of struggling when I felt like the Lord was putting this on my heart, because I wasn't sure until Pastor Justin preached this morning, and it made me realize there are two parts to this. Pastor Justin spoke about the part that we need, those who are righteous. And the Lord made me realize something about the wicked. And I feel like the Lord's trying to help build one thing together. That the righteous may right now suffer, and the wicked may prosper, but in the end, we win. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." Christians don't always have everything that we desire. We may not have the nicest house or the biggest cars, but when we are content and we are close to the Lord, it is great gain. Amen. There is no greater life than to be content with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, so that's really where I wanted to start, is there's two types of people in this world. And some people, you can preach the Bible all day and they won't listen. But I find that the Bible, it's true. And not only is it true, the Lord shows himself through people. So I wanted to pick somebody that was prosperous in my generation and in a couple generations back. So I did some research on some of the most famous people of my generation. And one of them was actor Johnny Depp. And this is an article written by a Secular Post. Actor Johnny Depp may be a chameleon on screen, but watch him during any interview and you'll see only a man whose facial expressions, droopy posture, and mumbled words give away what was once a big secret. Depp suffers from severe anxiety. Indeed, the actor's anxiety has been a major source of depression and unease, so much so that Depp has access to a therapist at all times, even on film sets, who help advise him on how to best deal with his anxiety and keep it from dragging him into severe depression. What's crazy about Johnny Depp, his net worth is $200 million. And he has the 2020 Guinness World Record for the highest paid actor. And he has 6 MTV Actor Awards. Now, see, we can look at this man and say, the world says that he's prospering. No, the world's saying that he's doing great. The highest paid actor. He broke records. And he has to, at all times, have to have somebody to help him. Because his anxiety is so bad that if he doesn't have help, he may go into deep depression at all times, even on film sets. Now, see, I think that's strange, because the world says if you have money and fame, your life will be wonderful. But this is proof. This man is literally the highest paid actor, and he's miserable. The other person I chose was Ludwig von Beethoven. And the composer had bipolar disorder and wrote his most famous works during times of torment, loneliness, and suffering, psychotic delusions. He medicated himself with the only drugs available in that day to bring some relief, opium and alcohol, and died of liver disease. Ludwig von Beethoven wrote two of the most popular compositions. He wrote Für Elise, and he wrote Moonlight Sonata. People look back and see Mr. Beethoven as one of the greatest composers to ever live. He had fame, he had money, but he did not have Jesus Christ. And his life was miserable. And he turned to the only thing he knew to turn to, opium and alcohol, and it killed him. If any of you have done any research on Mr. Beethoven, in his later years in life, he actually started to become deaf, but he still played music. I just find that strange, that he's losing his ability to hear what he's playing, but he is so dependent on on the only thing he's ever poured himself out into, that even not being able to hear, he still plays it. These people pour themselves out into anything but Jesus, and it only brings destruction. He died of the thing that he was trying to cure himself with killed him. I just find it strange that the world can say this Bible doesn't make sense and is not true when you have these clear examples of people who are screaming for help. And the Bible says, this is your help, and they ignore it. So we see we have, again, two examples of people who are just miserable. If you would please turn to Proverbs chapter number 28. And honestly, you could read the entire chapter. I'm just going to pick a few verses. But these are just some examples, again, proving that the Bible is showing you that this is true. That these aren't just words in a book. That these things actually prove themselves. Verse 1 says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Mr. Depp has to have a therapist with him at all times. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. Verse number 6 says, better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. It's better to be poor and to be holy and right with the Lord Jesus than it is to have all the riches in the world. Verse number 10 says, whoso causeth the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit, but the upright shall have good things in his possession. The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searcheth him out. I was reading that, and I found it interesting that it says, he shall fall himself into his own pit. It wasn't a pit that somebody else dug. It was a pit like Mr. Beethoven. He dug his own pit, and he ended up falling into it. See, we still have these two. The Lord uses things so that we can understand. He uses contrast against the righteous to show the vanity of the unrighteous. He says, the rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searcheth him out. I'm trying to paint a picture of how it is so much better to walk with the Lord than it is to be in the world. When I was in high school, I took art class, and they taught you a few of the concepts and constructs of art. One of them is called contrast, and it's where you take a dark color and put it against a light color so that both of the colors stand out. The word definition of this would be juxtaposition. When you take two things, put them together, and they don't match, so that each of them, their individual characteristics are broadened so that you can see them better. And we see it in this. The Lord uses juxtaposition to show the light of walking with Jesus and the darkness of not. If you would please go to Galatians chapter number 5. We're going to be doing a lot of going back and forth. I'm sorry. Galatians chapter number 5. And we'll start in verse 19 and then in verse 26. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. We have Paul here saying, you can see what walking in the flesh does for you, and nothing in there is good. Nothing in that is beneficial to the person doing it or the person they're doing it to. But then Paul also says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. You could stop there, and it'd be plenty enough to say, okay, then picking the Spirit would be a far wiser choice than to pick the flesh. Because everything that the flesh gives to me is completely useless and will hurt everyone in my life. But the first fruit of the Spirit is love. And then he goes, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Paul is saying, you have two options. You can walk in the flesh or you can walk in the Spirit. And he shows what each path does. And Paul is saying, if you're wise, you can see the fruit and pick the good path. Because the flesh does nothing. Everything done in the flesh profits no one. But all things done in the Spirit bring forth love. If you would please turn to Ecclesiastes chapter number 5. I just want to remember that I'm trying to keep our focus on there's a juxtaposition of the unrighteous and the righteous. Ecclesiastes chapter number 5. I'll start in verse number 12 and end at verse number 20. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail, and he begetteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit have he that hath labored for the wind? All his days also he eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath with his sickness. Behold that which I have seen. It is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. For he shall not much remember the days of his life because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. In verse 17, it says, all his days also he eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath with his sickness. Johnny Depp was the example I showed you. His net worth is $200 million. And he has insane, crippling anxiety. This says, and he hath much sorrow and wrath with his sickness. All his days also he eateth in darkness. Johnny Depp is the highest paid actor, and he's completely miserable. All of his days, he eats in darkness, and he has wrath. God is saying, do you realize that this world has nothing for us? This man has $200 million. The average American income is $45,000 a year. You can give or take about $10,000, but it's $45,000 a year. This man has $200 million and is completely miserable. He's pouring himself out into something that's not going to ever, ever help him. I forgot to mention the fact that both of these men, they deny Christ. They are not Christians. So everything they do is in the flesh. There is no purpose to their life. And that's their fruit. They're completely purpose and hopeless. No hope for them. Because they're pouring themselves out into something that does not give back. You know, the Lord Jesus talks about this often. And as I was reading this, I've read a lot of the Bible, but I didn't realize how much the Bible talked about this. Until I started studying it, the Bible is full of this. The Lord is trying to warn you. There's nothing out there. Everything is found in Jesus Christ. Everything that is worth doing can be done with the Lord Jesus. Let us please turn to John chapter number 6. And we'll start in verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. We see Jesus Christ doing again the juxtaposition that I've seen all throughout the Bible. He compares the meat that perishes and the meat that gives everlasting life. And then they say, well, what is this meat? How do we get to this? And Jesus says, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Jesus says, My burden is light. The world weighs us down with worries and struggles and cares. But Jesus says, My burden's light. He will strengthen you. All he's saying is, Believe on me. And you will have eternal meat, strength forever. The ability to do what you need to do to serve him. The world says you have to do this before you have any value. If you are not rich, famous, and prospering, you have no value in the world. But Jesus does not see your value in your money. The Lord Jesus is the value of your life. You can be at complete rock bottom, and as long as your faith is in Jesus Christ, your life can be full of joy and peace. Many of us have suffered. I'm quite young in my walk with the Lord Jesus, so I have not suffered much, but I've seen people suffer. And you know what? Those are the people who are the happiest, and they have the most joy, and they're strong. And you look at them and you think, how are you doing this? Because they know their peace is in God. Amen. And that the world can give them nothing. And John, and we're going to say in the same chapter, but I'm going to read verses 63 through 69. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus gives them a controversial statement. He says in verse 65, Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. He's saying, nothing without me. He's saying, nothing can happen without me. Jesus says, no man comes to the Father but by me. And then no man comes to Jesus but by the Father. So what he's saying is, everything is done by God. And the people who were listening to him said, I don't like that. I want to have control. So they left. And then Jesus looks at his 12 disciples and says, Are you going to leave too? And his disciples said, Where are we going to go? There's no one else to go to. I think in that small moment, the disciples had realized something. Through all of the time they had spent with Jesus, and seeing other people, I think they saw the darkness in the world, and they saw the light in the Lord Jesus, and they said, there's nowhere else we can go. Everywhere else is completely hopeless. But you have light, and we're going to follow you, because we know that you are the Christ, and you are the Son of God. And everywhere where you walk, there is hope. So no, we're not going back. We're following you. And I think as a Christian, we should see the world and realize there's no hope in it. All the things we pour out into this world will come back to us empty. But everything that you pour out into the Lord Jesus will come back with joy and peace. There is light with him. There is hope with him. But in the world, there is nothing. And I think the disciples realized that in that moment. So again, I want to remind us of the two types of people. Asaph saw the unrighteous prospering, and he himself, who was righteous, was suffering. But this is not where it ends. I want to turn to Colossians chapter number 3. And we'll start in verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Remember I said, that's not where it ends. It doesn't end at Asaph saying, I'm being righteous in vain. Asaph said, I wash my hands in vanity. And we realize that's not the end. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Though we suffer here, we will be glorified with him when we pass. All the suffering here is not worthy to be compared to what we will be glorified with him. The struggles we have here, if we keep our eyes fixed on the Lord, they seem as nothing. Because we see him in his glory, and we can be given strength and the power to walk with him. But for the unrighteous, it is not so. Please turn to Romans chapter number 1. And I'll be reading verse number 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. See, we have peace because we know the future. The unrighteous do not have peace. The Bible says that the unrighteous are captive to the fear of death. This says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. I tried to paint a picture of the contrast of the spirit and the flesh and the unrighteous and the righteous. How our choices here affect the way we feel and how we look at the Lord Jesus. If we walk in the spirit, we can have so much more peace. The things of the flesh bring nothing for us, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Just the first one. How much better of a choice is that for us? We do things so quickly, and we hurt ourselves. We make decisions so fast. If we would slow down and remember, the Lord said, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and the list goes on, and none of it's bad. But he also said, the fruit of the flesh, and a long list of horrible things. Walking with the Lord is so much better. See, people say, you know, the grass is greener on the other side. I'm not saying that. We have grass, and they have nothing. Their grass is dead. Our grass is not only green, but alive. I would choose the living grass far more than I want the dead grass. And yet sometimes we still choose the flesh. We so quickly forget that God's promises say we will have joy. The Bible says to crucify your flesh because it is good for you. If you walk in the flesh, you will have no hope, no joy, no purpose. But if you walk in the Spirit, your life has so much meaning. And everything you do, whether it seem minuscule or massive, has so much purpose. I struggled so bad trying to figure out where to go to college. And the Lord told me to go to Champion. And I struggled so hard. But he told me, and he said, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. I said, God, I trust you. And where you tell me to go, I will go. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but God, you told me. And I'm going. Because I've seen the flesh. And I've seen what it does to my life. And I've seen the spirit. And I'm going to try to be the wise one who says, I am picking you. Because the Lord Jesus has been nothing but good to me. And every time I try to walk in my flesh, things begin to break. But every time I walk with Jesus, things begin to grow. The Bible says the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. No matter how much I suffer, He is right there. He said He will never leave me nor forsake me. How can I not trust a God who died for me? Like I said earlier, if He said dig ditches, I would dig. Because I trust Him and His promises are true. Everything He says manifests itself. And everything that He said about the flesh will manifest itself. And He lays out a list for us. We would be wise to pick to walk in the Spirit. So much more wiser than to walk in the flesh. I really felt like the Lord gave me two missions today. And it's to encourage the believer and to warn the unrighteous. I really do hope that I encourage the believer. Because sometimes we get so weak and we get tired and we get weary. Because we do live in flesh. But if we can walk in the Spirit, we have so much more strength. If we look at the Lord Jesus and see Him on the cross dying for us while we were yet sinners, we can say, I can serve you with passion and with purpose and with a fervency. I know that there's at least one of us who are tired. Because I get tired often. I say, Lord, I need help. I need you to pull me through today. Some days are very difficult. As soon as I look to the cross, He strengthens me. As soon as I remember what He did for me and where I was and where I am now, and though I'm not perfect, I'm not who I used to be. He has changed my life. And when I can see that, He strengthens me. When I walk in the Spirit, He touches me and strengthens me. And when I walk in the flesh, I begin to break down. And I want to warn the unrighteous, those who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The wrath of God abides on them. And everything that you do in your flesh, especially when you're unrighteous, will not help you. And you are ruining and wasting your life. If there's anyone here who has not put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm begging you to realize everything I'm saying is true. I tried to bring real life examples. These things, we see these things. The words inside the Bible prove themselves outside in the world. Whoever is not righteous and has not fallen upon the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm trying to make a warning. There is hope and joy in the Lord Jesus. And if you walk with Him, you have purpose. In the beginning, I said I was just a broken boy. But the Lord Jesus came down, and He changed everything in my life. And every single day I wake up, I have a purpose. Things have meaning now. The last thing I want to read is in John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3, and in verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. If there's anything I can say, it would just be this one verse. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The Bible said it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But it is a great thing to fall upon the mercy of the Lord Jesus. And if there's nothing I can say but this, those who are in Jesus Christ have hope in life, and those who are not have nothing. It's been a long journey since I've been born again, and a lot of things have happened, and most people would say, they would look at my life and be like, you've had a lot of hurt. but I would never change it. For all the things that I've gone through and all the pain I've experienced while walking with the Lord, it is so worth it. Because He's always with you. And He's always been my friend. And if I can't leave you with anything, I'll leave you with that. The Lord Jesus is good. Thank you.
Thank you for that word, Brother Kevin. I've been down there making some notes. Let me read you what I got. One that stuck out to me, an original. If I follow the flesh, I will break. But if I follow the Lord, I will grow. How beautiful is that? How true is that? Thank you for the message tonight. Let's stand to our feet. We will get together and invitation instrumental. And if you need to come tonight and pray, I encourage you to come and do business with the Lord.